Oh boy, what's up? Welcome to Canucks Talk here, Friday edition of the show. I am Jamie Dodd, solo once again, at least temporarily here on Canucks Talk as Drance's vacation week continues. What a week he chose to go on vacation. I am broadcasting live from the Kintec studio. Kintec Footwear and Orthotics working together with you in step. 650-650 is the Dunbar Lumber text line. Metro Vancouver's trusted choice for contractors and rental warriors for over 50 years. Visit them at one of their three locations to serve you or online at dunbarlumber.com. And as always, you can send your text in. I have a feeling you're going to have a lot of thoughts that you want to get off your chest, that you want to share with me, that you want to run past me at some point in this show, and I encourage you to do so. 650-650 is the Dunbar Lumber text line. Now, as you've probably gotten used to on the show this week, I'm solo to start, but not for long here. Got a couple of special guests coming in studio today with me. Very excited about it. Jason Buchla, our guy, one of our favorites here on the show. He's in town. He was at the game last night, in fact. Went over and shook his hand and chatted for a few minutes on press row.
He didn't deserve this game.
What a game he chose. What a game. What a time he chose to come and see the Vancouver Canucks in person. So Jason Buchla, of course, from Sportsnet's NHL coverage and a former head scout in the NHL as well. He'll come in studio at 12:30. We'll get his thoughts on the game and just what the Canucks experience was like for him to take in person last night at Rogers Arena. And then Landon Farrar will join me again in studio for the final hour. 1 o'clock, of course, we'll react to another really disappointing performance by the Canucks. We'll look ahead to the Edmonton Oilers on Saturday, a team that Landon knows very well as well. They played last night. Picked up a come-from-behind victory against Colorado, so they continue their really strong play, and the road does not get any easier for the Canucks with the schedule ahead. So, Jason Buchla at 12:30, Landon Ferraro in studio with me at 1 o'clock. Before we chat with those guests, let's go to the whiteboard.
All right, now, fellas. Hey, let's focus up, huh?
It is your daily deep dive into what's up with the Canucks for today, January 17th, starting with the headline. The Canucks get blown out again for the second consecutive game. This time at home, they lose 5-1 to the LA Kings, and there's lots that could be said about just how incredibly ugly this game was, especially coming off the heels of that 6-1 defeat in Winnipeg. I was doing intermissions last night. I had a lot to say in the intermissions. I know listening to the post-game show, they had a lot to say. You, the texters and listeners and callers, had a lot to say. We're all kind of on the same page right now, I think, about that performance and where this team is. And I think the best way to sum it up is, this is hard to watch. It's hard to watch. It is not fun. It is not pleasurable. It's a difficult watch right now for the Vancouver Canucks. And I don't know how much more at this point I need to go into the specifics of the game. You know, the breakdowns that led to goals, all of those things, JT Miller's ice time, everything like that. I feel like we've got a bit of a handle on it. This feels now like more of a big picture, state of the franchise type of conversation. I think that's where we're at with this Canucks season. Because I said it's hard to watch right now what the Canucks are doing. What they're doing right now, it's not just hard to watch, it's not sustainable. You cannot have things continue like this for any significant length of time. You can't have two of your best players consistently no-show, consistently disappear like both JT Miller and Elias Pettersson are right now. You can't get blown out on a regular basis like the Canucks have done this year and especially most recently in their last two games. You definitely can't ask your fans to shell out big money to watch efforts like last night. And we all know about how poor they've been at home, and not just based on results, but some of the score lines at home have been really, really ugly. It's not just losses. It's bad, bad losses. And I'm not just talking about, you know, this is unsustainable if you want to make the playoffs, right? That's a small picture thing, ultimately, whether or not they make the playoffs this year. I'm not talking about this is a problem for this season. This is bad for the brand. This is bad for business to have repeated, consistent efforts and performances and outcomes like we saw at Rogers Arena last night. And We've talked a lot about the differences between this season and last season. It's maybe become a bit cliched at this point. I wonder if people are tired of hearing about it. Last season was in the past. We get that. However, one of the great things about last season was that the team restored so much goodwill with its fans. And we all know, you know, over the course of the Jim Benning era, how much goodwill was drained, how much apathy started to set in to a certain degree with the fan base. Last year looked like it turned the page on all that. People got really excited again. There was buzz in the city. How many people do you know with, you know, kids in elementary school who could say, this is the first time really my kid got into the Canucks. They were engaged. They were watching every playoff game. They finally got it. It felt like the Canucks were rebuilding the confidence in the fan base, rebuilding the excitement, but also building that next generation of fans that were going to be hardcore Canucks fans. Well, how much of that goodwill has been frittered away already this year? Not all of it, certainly not all of it, but how much of it are you in danger of losing if the season continues this way, if the season continues to be so incredibly frustrating? I was at the game last night, and I was sitting there watching it, and I was just thinking, man, imagine if that was your one Canucks game of the year, right? You're a hardcore fan, but you can only go to one game because we all know tickets are very expensive. That's your one game of the year. Imagine how you're feeling sitting there less than a minute in, seeing that first goal go in and then seeing it snowball from there. Or imagine if maybe you're taking your kid to their first Canucks game and that's the performance you get. This is only the third game they've played after Christmas. I bet you there were a bunch of kids in the stands last night who got tickets as a Christmas present, got tickets to their first Canucks game, and that's the result. That's the effort they see in front of them. That should be a big moment. And instead, it's a letdown, a tremendous letdown. And look, hey, I get it. Losses happen. No one's going to be perfect at home. That's unrealistic. Bad games happen. Bad moments happen. That's part of being a sports fan. You want your kids to be Canucks fans, sports fans? Well, part of it is taking your lumps. You're going to see some losses. You're going to have some bad moments. I understand. But to have it happen with such regularity, and not in a season where, you know, they're rebuilding and we all know it's not going to be ugly or it's not going to be pretty every night, but hey, they're scrappy and they're young and they're fun. That's not what this season was supposed to be. This isn't the San Jose Sharks where you can go and just get excited about Macklin Celebrini and Will Smith. This was a season where the team itself set the bar extremely high. From management on down, this was supposed to be about taking a step forward from what they accomplished. And instead, I'm sitting here talking about them spending all of that goodwill that they built up last year. They very much made certain promises to the fan base, and they are not coming anywhere close to living up to that standard. And when you set the bar this high, I get it, bad nights are going to happen, but they shouldn't happen with this much regularity. They shouldn't be this consistent. You shouldn't be subjecting your fans to this and expecting them to keep paying big bucks to come see you, to come cheer you on. So that's what I mean when I say that what the Canucks are doing is unsustainable. It doesn't just put them in danger of missing the playoffs this year. We'll talk about that more in the whiteboard. It's dangerous in a much bigger sense to the brand and to the future of the business. So look, I'm guessing there's not going to be a lot of pushback on that point. The idea that what the Canucks are doing isn't sustainable. Now the big question is, okay, what are you going to do about it? And what's management going to do about it? They've got options. There's different ways you can approach this when it feels like your season is going off the rails, where you feel like something has to happen. Option one, it's not going to be a popular one, but option one is circle the wagons. Double down, try to push through. Right? Challenge the players to figure it out themselves. You see this happen across the NHL, across sports all the time. You know, what's the phrase? The solution is in the room. Hey, we've got all the pieces here. We've got the talent. We just need to figure it out. We just need to reach within ourselves and we can be all right. We can get this season turned around. I think we've maybe seen management try to play that card a little bit already. You think of the commentary from Patrick Alvin to Ian McIntyre. Was that an attempt to kickstart the players, to get them to figure it out on their own? Hasn't worked so far, but you know, you never know. As bad as things look right now, I never want to completely write off a team that has this much talent at the top of their lineup. I'm not saying a turnaround is coming. Believe me, I'm not predicting it, but I'm just saying you can never fully write it off. The other thing about that option is, That's the easiest one. You don't have to do much. You don't have to pull off a trade. You don't have to make a hard decision. You just kind of cross your fingers and hope that the players figure it out. That's option one. Not saying it's the best option, but it is an option out there. Another one, you can fire the coach. That's a very popular option right now in our Dunbar Lumber text line on social media. I see it a lot. People very fed up with Rick Tocchet. Look, I've explained at length on this show in the past why I don't think it makes any sense whatsoever to fire the coach. I don't think I have to go into it again. Fourth coach for this core in, what, 4 years, basically? I just don't think that makes any sense. I think you've completely lost the plot if that's the first way place you're going is to fire Rick Tocchet. So I don't think option two, firing the coach, makes any sense. That leaves us with the shakeup, making a big trade. And I mean a big trade. Not his second round pick for a 4-5 defenseman and, hey, maybe we'll move the puck better. That's not what we're talking about. And I know there's, you know, people who, they have to make a trade. And it's like, well, it's so hard. There's not a lot of good defensemen available. We're not talking about adding here. We're not talking about trying to save the season by bringing in Marcus Pettersson or Ivan Provorov. We're talking about a big trade. We all know where I'm going, right? We've heard repeatedly that the Canucks are considering trading one of Elias Pettersson or JT Miller. And one of the common reactions to this idea is one I've had too is, hold on, wait a second. How are you going to get better by trading one of those guys? You're not going to win that trade. You're going to send the best player out in the deal, and it's very, very hard to win a deal in those circumstances. And that logic is absolutely true. If you look at this purely as an on-ice hockey proposition, the idea of trading one of JT Miller or Elias Pettersson, yeah, you're not winning that deal. You're not going to get a package that gives you more value on the ice right now or probably even next year or a year after that than those guys do. So it's true. You're going to lose that trade. In strictly on ice hockey terms, you trade one of those guys, you're going to lose the deal. That's true. It also might be entirely beside the point. And in fact, I think it is entirely beside the point. Because if you look at this team and decide that what they're doing is unsustainable, the performances they're putting up are unacceptable, that it can't continue, that action needs to be, some action needs to be taken. One of the options I laid out, you got to choose one and go for it. If you think that's true and a significant change of direction is necessary, then you can't get hung up on losing the trade. You can't get hung up on, well, we'd like to trade JT Miller, but we only will do it for player X. It has to be the perfect unicorn trade, unicorn return for us, and then we'll consider moving one of these guys. If you're trading JT Miller, you're not doing it for the return per se. You're not doing it because you're getting the perfect piece back. You're doing it for a clean slate. You're doing it for a new direction, for a new beginning. That sounds airy-fairy, and it is a little bit, but that's what we're talking about here. Reset, clean slate, whatever you want to call it, that's the real return you're getting in a deal for either Elias Pettersson or JT Miller going the other way. Once you decide to trade a core player like that, you can't be hung up on player A versus player B. You got to go in knowing you're not going to win the trade, but you're doing what you have to do to take the franchise in a new direction. And look, I know you don't want to just give away a player for pennies on the dollar. That's tough. That's not fun. Doesn't feel good. And if they trade one of these guys and they go on and light it up somewhere else, well, that's a big risk. And it's not going to feel great either. But I also don't think you can keep banging your head against the wall and expecting different results, expecting things to not turn around. They might turn around temporarily, or to turn around, I should say. They might turn around temporarily. We've seen some very good moments with this core, some really high highs. We've also seen some really low lows. So even if you do challenge this group to figure it out themselves and they play better down the stretch, how much confidence can you really have if you bring back the same core next year that, okay, this time they've really figured out how to be consistent for a whole season. This time they've really figured out that maturity and those habits and that professionalism. Because every time we've seen a high with this group, a low has been coming not too far away. I don't know how much appetite you can have to keep repeating that pattern. And if you don't want to do it, if you believe that it's unsustainable, then again, if you don't think there's a path forward for JT Miller or Elias Pettersson in Vancouver, the return is beside the point. And look, one way or another, something has to change very quickly here. Either the players turn it around or management comes down and comes out and shuts things down and says, look, we believe in the core, we're not doing anything, or you make a deal. Something's got to happen, though, because this just isn't sustainable. And look, it's not going to get any easier with Edmonton coming into town tomorrow. I know they're on the end of a long road trip. They've been all over the continent, different time zones, different cities, all of that. They're also playing some excellent hockey right now. They're a buzzsaw. That's a really tough matchup. And as I said on the show yesterday, and LA did their part, I was looking at these two games against Pacific Division rivals and wondering, well, LA and Edmonton, they know what's going on with the Canucks. They can see a team reeling. How motivated are they going to be to really put the boots to a team that's in trouble? LA did it. Edmonton getting a chance to play a team they met in the playoffs, had a very feisty series with in the playoffs last year. You got to believe they're going to be hyped for this one. They're going to be trying to do everything they can to extend Vancouver's misery and put them in even a worse situation. So that's a very, very difficult matchup for the Vancouver Canucks tomorrow night on Hockey Day in Canada in the national spotlight at Rogers Arena. I also just want to mention this. It's not a headline per se, but, you know, coming out, part of the big picture discussion that a lot of people are having about this team today. Are we going to hear from management soon? And I know Patrick Alvin spoke to Ian McIntyre, our colleague at Sportsnet. It was a great piece, great interview from IMAC. Back on New Year's Eve, it was published. But are we going to see more of an open forum, answering questions in a press conference setting from either Jim Rutherford or Patrick Alvin? It's midway point of the year, pretty common. Now, maybe they're waiting until a little closer to the deadline, something like that. But given the way things are going, given some of the conversations around this team, I think there's an appetite from fans to hear from management at some point sooner rather than later here about what's going on with the Vancouver Canucks. All right, those are your headlines for today. Let's move on to the broadsheet. And as you might expect, lots of conversation, lots of reports out there about Canucks players. Rick Dhaliwal, both on Donnie and Dolly today and on the Halford and Bruff show here on Sportsnet 650, saying that people around the league think Miller is the more likely player to be moved by the Canucks than Elias Pettersson. He also says more and more people around the league think that he will be moved. And Rick Dhaliwal also saying, look, despite where the conversation, maybe opinions about JT Miller are here in Vancouver, there are still a lot of teams around the league that are interested. Cites his place on the Four Nations roster for Team USA. And every time that comes up, I always think about, well, who's the GM for that team? It's Bill Guerin. He's the GM for the Minnesota Wild. Not saying, just saying. That's always been an interesting potential landing spot to me. But Rick Dhaliwal saying, look, lots of teams are still very, very interested in JT Miller around the NHL. Cam Robinson from Elite Prospects on social media today says that there's smoke that New Jersey is, quote, really kicking tires on JT Miller right now. Now, Nick Kiprios from Kipper and Bourne on Fan 590, he mentioned the Devils as a possible landing spot this week as well. Should also mention Tom Fitzgerald, the GM of the Devils. He was on Kipper and Bourne yesterday. I went back and listened to that interview. He was kind of not quite asked about JT Miller and the Canucks by Kipper, but kind of obliquely he referenced it and kind of wanted to see what Fitzgerald would say. And what Fitzgerald had to say is, Patrick and I are really good friends. That's Patrick Alvin. But he says, quite honestly, we haven't talked. Now, he also goes on to say that they have the pieces necessary to make a blockbuster deal. I would take that denial with a big grain of salt from Tom Fitzgerald that he hasn't talked to the Vancouver Canucks. But interesting to hear him reference his friendship with Patrick Alvin. Of course, both guys came from the Pittsburgh front office. Tom Fitzgerald even crossed over with Jim Rutherford in the Pittsburgh front office. So there's obviously a working relationship and beyond that, a good personal relationship between Tom Fitzgerald and Patrick Alvin. So something to keep in mind, the idea that the New Jersey Devils could be interested in landing JT Miller. I'm not going to go down the road of potential returns and, you know, making the salary cap math work and all of that, but just wanted to put that out there. Another team we're hearing in connection with JT Miller. And as I said, just to get back to the point that Rick Dhaliwal is making, oh, a lot of teams are really interested in JT Miller still. If that's the case, get it done. If you're this close, if the process has gotten to this point and we're consistently seeing what we're seeing from JT Miller on the ice, there's frustration, his ice time is down. I'm not privy to all the information. We know he took a leave of absence. Who knows what his health is? I get all of that. Those are all important caveats. The front office has a lot more information than we do. That's always important to keep in mind. But I just think the fact that they're exploring options like this suggests that they might see it similarly to us. They might see it and say, you know what, there's no path forward here. If that's the case and there are teams interested, go get it done, rip the Band-Aid off, and move forward. To the lineup notes, team is practicing right now at Rogers Arena. They got on the ice at noon. Haven't seen any updated lines or anything like that from Batch or Randeep, but I'll keep an eye out for that. And of course, you gotta think, with JT Miller's ice time as low as it has been on a regular basis, that there's, at a certain point, the lineup shuffle is going to just bake that in. What else we see from Rick Tocchet and how he decides to roll out his lines at practice, I'm going to be curious. We didn't see a ton of line juggling, really, during the course of the game last night. We saw it on the power play. A bunch of different configurations on the power play. None of them could end up being successful. But at 5-on-5, he mostly kept things pretty static with his line combinations. You know, I thought Lehermäki, despite the chaos around him, had a pretty decent performance, rung that one off the post. Does he get another shot in the top six? What are your other options? But I can only imagine at this point that Rick Tocchet probably feels like he's running out of options. He's running out of ways to try to get this team turned around, to try to find a way to get that buy-in, that energy, that effort on a consistent basis from his team and from his top player. So we'll keep an eye out for an update from Canucks practice at Rogers Arena, but they are on the ice. And if at some point we get some new audio from Rick Tocchet, maybe later on when we're chatting with Landon, we'll try to run that. Because, man, it's interesting times around the Vancouver Canucks right now. I'm curious to hear what he has to say. So those are your lineup notes. Again, really a TBA there on the lineup notes. Playoff and standings update. So the good news is that, well, the Flames lost again to the Blues. So the Flames have blown a couple of chances to increase the gap between themselves and the Canucks. Of course, the Flames in the final wildcard spot in the Western Conference. Canucks remain a point back with the same number of games played. And per Dom's model of the Athletic, the Canucks drop, yes, in their playoff odds, but only to a 75% chance to make the playoffs. And what's going on here is Dom's model really does not believe in the St. Louis Blues. Despite those wins, and they're now actually have the same number of points as the Canucks, albeit with a couple of more games played, only likes the Blues at a 3% chance. A 7% chance to make the Stanley Cup playoffs. The Flames have a 10% chance. Utah with a 13% chance. So again, the thing that the Canucks have most going for them when it comes to trying to make the playoffs is not really anything they're doing. It's the relative weakness of the rest of the field that's chasing that final spot. Now, that's a dangerous game to be playing, because all it's going to take is, you know, Dustin Wolf stealing a few games in a row for Calgary, and all of a sudden that gap goes from 1 point to 4, 5, 6. And the road starts to become a lot harder for the Canucks. The road back to the playoff spot, to a playoff spot, starts to become a lot harder. But as I said, as dark as it seems right now, you can't write the team off. Unexpected turnarounds happen all the time, and the door is still very much open for at least a playoff appearance for the Vancouver Canucks in the Western Conference. That's the whiteboard for today. You can keep sending your texts in, 650-650 to the Dunbar Lumber text line. I'll have a peek at the inbox in the break here. And Jason Buchla from Sportsnet's NHL coverage, former NHL head scout, he's in studio with me next here on Canucks Talk, Sportsnet 650.